when you reveal the things that the devil likes to keep a secret, he doesn't like that. Turn your Bibles to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm hoping I got enough battery on this, but I should have. If I don't, I'll have to change them real quick. I hate doing that during the middle of a message, but if we have to, we have to here. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Brother Paul, why don't you pray for us and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. I want you to pay attention to that phrase right there. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. You believe in every word Bible, right? It says here that you believe, it says that you've heard that it should come, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Is it already in the world, he says. So he's saying that this spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. You heard it. You heard that it was going to come. You heard that it was going to be set forth. Ye're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right. This message tonight is the spirit of Antichrist. This is only going to be part one. I'm going to preach the second half of it on Sunday because I didn't have enough time. I'm not going to have time to preach both of them here. The Lord kept revealing more to me as I was studying this. It just so happened with some of the afflictions and things that I've been going through here and some of the challenges in ministry and some of the challenges of our church and other things that God really spoke to my heart through another brother here last night that I was talking to. And, you know, I started to look at this spirit of Antichrist. Now, this is not the Antichrist that will come, but his spirit that goes out that is already in the world now. This is what we miss. We miss it when we stop looking at every word of the Bible. We miss some of these things. He is saying that there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. Well, what is that spirit doing? What is it doing? All of the evil that is going on in this world is led by that spirit of Antichrist. If we only understood how great of an influence that has on our world, we'd stop fighting the scene and start understanding behind the scenes what's going on. Here's where people miss it. Here's where a lot of Christians miss it. Oh, if you talk about America and you tell the truth about it, oh, you hate America. You're not a patriot. If you tell the truth that the Statue of Liberty is a goddess, well, you just hate America. You just hate America. If you're against war, well, you just hate you just hate the military. Instead of dealing with the actual substance of it, that what leads all these things? What is leading all of this? What are we coming to? What point in time are we coming to? What point are we coming to, and what is leading to that? Well, what does this spirit of Antichrist do? First of all, what is the spirit of Antichrist? The Apostle John, he talked extensively about the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is that spirit that has gone out into the world. He says that here. It's that spirit that has already gone out into the world. It's already there. It's right there, right now. Our verses say to try the spirits, not to believe every spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit. We're going to talk about that more on Sunday when we talk about the charismaniac movement, the charismatic movement, and the spirits, and the prophesying that they do, and all of the things that they do, the signs and wonders that they do, and how that is the spirit of Antichrist is what it is. And that's why you're warned right here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. We're going to talk about those false prophets on Sunday. Paul called it that spirit of Antichrist. He called it the mystery of iniquity. He said it's that mystery of iniquity. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He talked about that same spirit, that it was that mystery. Why? Because God was manifest in the flesh as what? The mystery of godliness. I preached a message on that, the mystery of godliness versus the mystery of iniquity. Paul talked about it. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What's the mystery of iniquity going to be? The Antichrist, Satan in the flesh, the son of Satan in the flesh. All right? Ephesians 2, verse number 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now I know for some reason our brethren want to believe that the politicians are good, if they're Catholic, if they're pro-life, if they're this, if they're that, they believe all these things. Well, I know there's some good people up in these congresses and there's some good people. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? If they're not saved, they have the spirit of disobedience in them. You really trust their judgment? You got radio personalities out there and talk show hosts and people like that. You really trust their judgment? You really trust Rush Limbaugh's judgment? Really? Why? Because he's a Catholic? Because he believes he's a God? He has the spirit of Antichrist in him? He has the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in him? He's not saved. He denies Christ. He's Antichrist. He said, you heard it would come, and it's already in the world. When the apostle penned this, the spirit of Antichrist was already there. It was already in the world. It's the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of his son, the evil Trinity, not the Godhead, but that, not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but that unevil, that unholy Trinity. Whose coming is after the working of Satan. This world is in for some strong delusion. They're already deceived now. When you get that mad at truth when it's given to you, you're in for a lot of delusion. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. Satan is the god of this world. He has a spirit that has gone out, that is already, that mystery of iniquity is already at work. Already there at work. That spirit of Antichrist is alive, working today, just as if the Antichrist was here. Now, when he's here, he'll have dominion because God will allow him to have dominion. Do you understand something? Here's what people miss. Do you understand that the Antichrist will not do anything that God does not let him do? Do you understand that? God is the one that sends the strong delusion. Think about that for a few seconds. You think God's worried about the Antichrist? No. You think he's worried about the devil? No. He knows the end. He's only going to allow him to get away with what he allows him to get away with. Amen? God's not going to lose. Not at all. He can't lose. Amen? Well, what is this work that the spirit of Antichrist is doing? Listen, we know the devil is the master of mimic. He can't create anything. All he can do is pervert. He can't create, but he distorts and he perverts for his pure evil use. Just as the Spirit of God goes out and speaks of all that Christ had said to do. Remember that? He said that he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've commanded you, that's what the Spirit of God does. What does the Spirit of Antichrist do? Teaches evil. We're going to talk about that more on Sunday, but he's going to oppose it and exalt himself all above all that is called God. Amen. We're going to talk about that what he's going to do with that. I'm hoping I can get it all through on Sunday. If we don't, we'll just pick it up when I come back. The spirit of Antichrist perverts Christ. That's what he does. Number one, understand this. The spirit of Antichrist perverts the doctrine of Christ. That's what he does. He perverts it. As we've seen in Scripture, who Christ really is, we see, how about this? What do you call the spirit of Antichrist? How about the Jehovah's Witness movement? Is that not the spirit of Antichrist? Does it not pervert the doctrine of Christ and who he is? By the way, it's not new. The Arians believe the same thing. How about the Mormons? Do they pervert the doctrine of Christ? Of course they do. They pervert the doctrine of Christ. The Romans deny the Roman Catholic Church is the spirit of Antichrist as well. Hey, you know what's really bad? Listen to me. When Time Magazine makes you the man of the year, you know you're probably pretty evil. Because Obama was like three times. The Pope was just named the man of the year. He's a devil. He's a rotten, dirty devil is what he is. That'll make friends and influence people. You really think he's anything else? Don't you think it's absolutely 100% diabolically evil to walk up to sinners and tell them, listen, you just follow your conscience and you'll go to heaven. You'll be fine. You'll go to heaven if you follow your conscience. What is that? That's evil. That's absolutely evil. He's the man of the year for that. Walks up to the homosexuals and says, hey, it's okay to be gay. It must be one of his sermons on Sunday. It's okay to be gay. I know it's not gay, it's sodomy, but that's the point. That's what the world uses. That's what the world calls it. He just said it's okay. Walks up to the Muslims and tells them, hey, you're my brother. You're our brothers. You'll get to heaven too. Now see, that's diabolically evil. That's absolutely putrid and wretched. He follows Mary. Well, he actually follows the Queen of Heaven. It's not really Mary. Because Mary said to follow Christ. So, in the Bible, Mary said, you follow Christ. Obey him. Do whatever he says. Amen. But that's the spirit of Antichrist. You see that? That's so clear that that's the work of the Antichrist. To pervert the Apostle John said that many have went out. Many false prophets have went out. And many lying spirits, and they are antichrist. Why? Because they preach against Christ in the flesh. You say, what Rome doesn't? Yeah, but which Christ do they preach? Do you really think the Mormons preach the Christ of the Bible? No. Do you see they deny him? The JWs, they deny him. See, but they say Jesus came. Yeah, but they don't believe he's the Jesus of the Bible. They don't believe that. That's why you're to try the spirits. Because the Antichrist spirit is out there. And what's his goal? His goal is to pervert the doctrine of Christ. That's his goal. Pervert it. Pervert it. Change it. Manipulate. Pervert it. Change it. Twist it. That's his goal. That's what he does. By the way, much of this holiday season is Antichrist. I have one word for everybody. One question for everybody. And I just want you to think about this. Just think about it. What does a tree, a Christmas tree, have to do with Christ's birth? All I want you to ask. Answer. What does it have to do with Christ's birth? Absolutely. I mean, nothing. So where did it come from? It's not hard. It really isn't. It's not. I promise you, it's very easy to figure out where it came from. But in a few weeks when I get back, or a week from this Sunday or whatever, when I come back, maybe I'll preach that message, Merry Christmas from Babylon. And that'll explain where it came from. Because I'm sorry, folks, but you can't find the Christmas tree anywhere in the story of Jesus' birth. It's not there. So what? So doesn't that make you wonder, well now, then why do we do this? I mean, I I'm going to study this out. Okay, I don't like this. I had a bunch of preachers telling me online, you shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you punks. You know, but then I said, you know, I need to take a look at this. I started looking at this, and they were friends, by the way. So we were teasing, but I was teasing, but I was kind of mad at them. What are you talking about? What's wrong with this? I started looking at it. I was like, what's pagan? This is pagan. This has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with him. Why would the world celebrate the birth of somebody they hate? That you can't pray in his name on the Capitol? Why would they do? Come on, wake up! It's not that Christ. It's another Christ. It's not. And you know what? If Rome's for it, man, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be against it. And when the Pope says he's lighting a candle and he's doing all these little ditties on Christmas Day, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to identify with you. I don't want to identify with anything you do. You are a false prophet that went out. You are mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of all harlots. But it doesn't make you very many friends, and people, church people get mad when you say things like that. They get very angry, and I understand that. But if you ask me, do I tell the truth? By the way, who is Christ? The truth. And in him is no lie. Amen? So do I follow the truth? Do I follow the truth? Do I tell the truth? And do I obey the truth? Or do I follow a lie? That's really the question. Do I follow a lie or the truth? Because that's all that matters. First of all, anyway, I'm not going to get into Christmas. I don't have time. I got to keep moving. That's for another message. So, by the way, I think people listen to these sermons online just so they can get mad at me. I'm serious. They do now. People listen to these sermons. You know who you are out there. You know you listen to these sermons online to get mad at me. But I love you anyway, and I want to tell you the truth. And that's why I do what I do, is for the truth's sake. I'm not mad at you. I don't care if you get mad at me. You can say whatever you want to about me. I still love you. I nothing's changed. I'm still going to preach the truth. I don't think I'm better than you, but I'm going to tell the truth. If that upsets you and hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but I have to obey God rather than man. Because I'm going to stand before God someday, and I'm more scared of him than I am of you. 100 times more. 1,000 times more. And truth is what matters. By the way, the Roman Catholics deny that Christ is the mediator. They say Mary is the co-redemptress and the mediator. Well, you know, you just ask Mary and she'll ask Jesus for you. Well, what do I want to ask some sinner for? To go to the Savior. I'm already a sinner crying out to the Savior. I don't need another sinner to go through. Amen? But I've been made a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Anyway. By the way, it does that this whole season has to do with the spirit of Nimrod, mystery Babylon, but that's for another sermon. I don't have time to get on that now. This spirit of Antichrist preaches another Jesus, another gospel, another way for sins forgiven. Whether it's Joseph Smith, whether it's a lying spirit, it's, hey, well, I was walking along one day and these golden tablets popped up and I had my lucky peak stone and I found these golden tablets and the angel moron, I'm going to get in trouble again. I'm not supposed to use that. A Duck Dynasty video, all these comments come in and they're mad because I said moron. But okay, so the angel Moroni, sounds like macaroni, doesn't it? It's probably a devil. I mean, the angel Moroni is probably a real angel. It's probably a fallen angel. Probably is. Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt he's seen a few angels. I wouldn't doubt that at all. Fallen ones. But the Apostle Paul said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, and that which you have received, let him be accursed. Amen? That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit that teaches something different. You keep in mind one thing. Jesus Christ preached the truth, full of grace and truth. But he preached the truth. What is the Antichrist? He's a lie. He's a lie. And that's what that coming kingdom is about. That Antichrist that will come. That's what it's about. And that spirit is already at work today. Already working today in our world to take away from the doctrine of Christ. What is it? What is that message that the Antichrist, that spirit is preaching now, trying to prepare for? The ascension of man to godhood. That's what it is. Yea, hath God said? That enmity between the seeds. Ye shall be as gods. Come on, you're going to be as a god. The ascension of man. That's what it's about. That's what the Antichrist gospel is. You can do better. You can be better. Your best life now. This is that prosperity gospel we'll talk about on Sunday, but possibly we'll touch. The world doesn't want the risen Savior, the King of Kings. They're fine with a babe in the manger, but He's not in the manger. He's the risen Lord. And it's hypocrisy for me to try to worship with the world Jesus Christ. When you're to come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord God, touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. That's what He said. You just hate Easter bunnies and Santa Claus, don't you? Yeah, Santa Claus is evil. One of my friends, Tino. I'm gonna get Tino in trouble. Tino calls him a big fat fairy demon. That's what he calls Santa Claus. that's what he calls him. And he's pretty much right. He's a devil. That's another thing that is not of the truth that people, this world promotes. They're not worried. Why do you think presents don't come from Jesus Christ? Presents come from Santa. Listen, if you study America, yeah, from the North, yeah. Have you ever read that verse? If you study in America, you'll understand that Christmas was largely popularized and invented by marketers. It's about money. It was about big corporate money. That's what it's always been about in America. The Puritans had it outlawed. You couldn't have it. The Puritans outlawed it. The Puritans were mean sometimes. But, you know, you can't really outlaw something like that. But, I mean, they did. Yeah, they beat Baptists too, so I'm not saying they're right. But I'm just saying that's what the Puritans did. They outlawed it. You know, for a long time. Baptists didn't do it until 70s. Something like that. Baptists never did it. I guarantee you, your Waldensian brothers and sisters were running, hiding. They didn't like the Catholic holy days. And it comes from Rome. Anyway, that's not the truth though. That's a lie. This world is being prepped by the spirit of Antichrist to believe a lie. The world hates Christ. Never forget that's the Antichrist. Its mission is to pervert the incarnate Lord, and that's exactly what has taken place. A perversion of who Jesus Christ is. This holiday is a perversion of who Jesus Christ is. You know, I don't want my son believing that a holiday called Christmas is actually about Jesus Christ when everybody's handing gifts. You want to know where you see in the Bible where people are handing gifts around? It's when the two prophets are slain in the book of Revelation and everybody hands gifts to one another. And they're all happy because them preachers are dead now. Man, their heads are chopped off. They're sitting in the streets now and we can all pass gifts around and woohoo, we got them. They're dead. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't buy anything for anybody or give anybody anything. But there's no such thing as the spirit of Christmas. If it is, it's Antichrist. It's not Christ. Because the spirit of Christ is not commercialism. It's humbleness, it's meekness, and it's from the heart. Amen. That's the spirit of Christ. The Antichrist cannot erase Christ, but he can pervert the doctrine of Christ. That's what he's done. Next, the spirit of Antichrist is speaking great words against God. That spirit is already in this world. Daniel chapter 7 talks about when the Antichrist comes in verse number 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Here we see that spirit of Antichrist. What we see now, he said, do we see that now? Do we see a spirit out there that speaks great words against the Most High? Oh, yeah. We see that now. That's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. How many have spoken great words today against the Most High? How many atheists that speak and Satanists that speak words against the Most High? Go out and preach in the open air and watch them flash you the devil fork signs and watch them scream out, "Hail Lucifer." What is that? Spirit of Antichrist. That's what it is. Speaking great words against the Lord, against the Most High. The spirit of Antichrist speaks great words against the Bible. Isn't that same spirit out there now? Oh, is it really inspired? Is it really preserved? Is it really perfect? Yea, hath God said? Is it really? Is it really God's word? Do you really have to obey it? Is that really what it's saying? Have you ever heard people say that? Have you ever heard people do that? Oh, yeah. Questioning God's word. I don't mean questioning understanding something. I mean questioning the foundation of this being the inspired word of God. Questioning it. What is that? That's an influence of Antichrist spirit. That's what that is. Speaking great words against the Most High. Is this not the Word of God? Are these not the words of God? Don't we have it right here? So when somebody speaks against that, then where does that come from? Well, when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, what's he going to do? He's going to speak great swelling words against him. He's going to speak these great words against the Most High. Now, what do we see going on right now? In the Apostle John said that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So what are we seeing now? We're seeing the same thing, the foreshadowings of it. He's preparing the way, leading people into speaking words that are against God. I'm hearing it all the time. Is it really bad to drink liquor? I mean, really? Really? I mean, we have to really think about that? I had somebody send me an email this week about that. They wanted to challenge me on that. Yeah. Wine is a mocker. And strong drink is raging. Yeah. Well, I got to ask the question. You know, is somebody still a Christian if they drink a glass of wine? Well, first of all, why don't you open your Bible and see what it says? What are you asking me that for? Right. I'm not God. This is the authority. Really? You need me to answer that for you? Buddy, you're probably not saved then. Because you probably don't understand the scriptures then. And you might be lost, and you better drop your little arrogant pride and get saved before you split hell wide open, pal. That's the truth. Because you don't need me to answer that. You can open up this book and see exactly what it says. Unless you can't discern the scriptures. Then there's a problem there. Because what are you asking me that for? Why don't you look in the Bible and answer it yourself? Can deacons drink a little and pastors drink none? Come on. Can we stop playing games? Let's be real. Let's not play games. This is ridiculous. What is that? That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what that is. That's what that is. You read the Bible. You go study the sermon on drunkenness that I preached. By the way, just to help some folks out that might have a misunderstanding or not understand that includes everybody in this room and whoever's listening. Our church. By the way, we have church members that are not on here, but they listen online because they're not here. So when I'm speaking to them too. And some people might not understand that, but that's the reason I'm saying that is because somebody might say, "You're just speaking to YouTube out there for no reason." No, I've got church members that listen that aren't here right now that can't drive 90 miles to get here on Wednesday night. But anyway, just to clarify that, so I'm not accused of just preaching to the internet like I've been accused of. Not to my face, of course, because that wouldn't happen. That would take a man to do that, but that doesn't happen. A man stands in front of your face, and if he has an accusation against you, he points a finger at you and he says he has an accusation against you. That's what real men do. Just to help you out there, son. Somebody didn't teach you that. Somebody should have a long time ago. Real men look in your eye if they're going to accuse you of something. They look you dead in your eye and they ask you, and they look in your eyeballs and they ask you like a man does. But the spirit of Antichrist doesn't do that. The spirit of Antichrist, he's that slippery little subtle devil that slips underneath the door and tries to play games. You better believe I'm standing on the authority of this book, and I'm not backing down. By the grace of Almighty God, you haven't stopped me, and you won't stop me until I'm dead. Amen. So people understand that. Just so the devil understands that I hide in Christ in his word, and he'll protect me from all the satanic attacks. And there have been many. That drunkenness sermon, if you go back and listen to that, just so you understand, all I did was do a word study of drunkenness. Every time drunkenness was brought up, isn't that so simple? I let the King James Bible define what it means. Isn't that amazing? And it did. And it convicted. And it's one of the most hit sermons on there. I don't know why. But it is. People listen to it. Maybe it helped them. I hope it did. That's what we do it for. Amen. We do it to help others. We preach to help. Amen. Warning every man. Amen. That's what God says to do. Now, he'll speak these great swelling words. He'll speak these words against it. Oh, what do you have now? You have the Pope that speaks great words against God. Is being homosexual really sin? Is it really wicked? Is God really against gay marriage? Not according to the Pope. See, what you miss with all this, let me help you out. What the Pope says, he speaks ex cathedra. That means he is the mouth of God when he speaks. So do you see a man now today? Now let me ask you, stop. Is there a man today that says, that speaks great words? If he speaks contrary to this Bible, is he speaking great words against the Most High? If he is saying that he is the vicar of Christ and he is God on this earth, why do you think all the politicians, again, like I've told you for the last few weeks, kiss his finger? He's the God on earth. So, he is speaking great words against the Most High. By what spirit does he speak these things? The spirit that has went out, the spirit of Antichrist that has went out into the earth. You have the papacy, that spirit of Antichrist. You have the Roman Church. He says he speaks for Christ. But that Antichrist spirit should come in the world. That spirit that would pervert. That spirit that doesn't like this King James Bible. Boy, it doesn't like it. Doesn't like it so much, it wants you to try to learn a different language. So you can figure out. You know, it's funny because Rome has. I had somebody ask me that. Do you hate Hebrew and Greek? Where did you ever get the idea that I hate Hebrew and Greek? I mean, do you see how people twist and pervert your words? So because I stand on God's authority and His Word, and I don't have an agenda to try to prove this wrong, I gotta wonder where that agenda comes from when you want to prove this wrong. Now let's see, is that the spirit of Christ or is that the spirit of Antichrist? Is that being led by the spirit of Antichrist? I'm not saying you're not saved. But are you being led by that? Good question, isn't it? It's a desire to pervert who God really is. That's what the spirit of Antichrist does. He's at work right now, folks. He's not sleeping. You know, if we understood how much the devil hates us, if we really understood it, it'd keep us up at night praying. If we really understood how much he hates us, if we really see this life, see, people wonder why I do what I do, the way I do it, and the way I am. They wonder about it. But what they need to understand is the reason why is because when you look at everything, some of you look at everything like it's okay. I mean, I look at it as a spiritual war. And the devil wants to destroy your home. He wants to steal your children's purity. Amen? He wants to steal your holiness and your purity and your sanctification. He wants to defile it. He wants to step on every sanctuary of God and defile it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to stand up to the preacher's pulpit and he wants to defile it with his dirty devils. That's what he wants to do. He wants to set a serpent. He wants to set a person with a forked tongue to tell the preacher to calm down. Don't get so excited. Don't preach so hard like that. Don't talk about fornication and all those other things. Stay away from those things. Just go back to preaching a general message. So everybody just comes in. They put their time in on Sunday. They drop some money in the offering plate. They feel good about themselves and go back and live in their sin. Just do that. Stop warring. Why? Because you want me to have the peace of the damned? Like a graveyard? You want me to be like the graveyard and have that peace? Yeah, there's peace in a graveyard, but they're all damned. They're all dead. The bodies are dead. They're in the ground. They're corrupted. That's the peace that you want. I don't want that peace. I don't want that type of peace. Believe me, I'm at peace in my soul with who the Lord is and what He's done in my life. I'm at perfect peace with that. But you know what? I'm at war with the devil. This church is at war. Oh, why do you figure that? Well, if the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that means it's trying to. That means it's trying to. Duh. It's not a cakewalk. It's not. It's a war. And that spirit of Antichrist is out there. I'm telling you what, that spirit of Antichrist, we're going to talk about that on Sunday, wants to touch your church. It wants to come into that church and it wants to defile that church. It wants to defile it. And the first place it can go to try to do it is the pulpit. Shut up that preacher. Shut him up. Why? Because if I can discourage him, which we're going to talk about next, in two more, what time is it? Ooh, I better get moving here. You don't got enough to do tonight anyway, right? Amen. All right, next, the spirit of Antichrist thinks to change times and laws. So what do you mean by that? Well, Daniel talks about that. He says here that he will think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. He wants to change things. What does this mean exactly? We're seeing the spiritual, that spirit going out right now. Right now. You say, what do you mean? There's no respect for the written law. 250 years ago, you wouldn't dare have broken the Magna, or years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, you wouldn't have dare broken the Magna Carta. You would have respected the law. The king's word was a decree, and it would have been respected. Amen. The common law would have been respected. It was the written law. The Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights was respected law of the land. Be it as it may, some of them were not saved people, but they respected written law. They respected it. They followed it. They obeyed it. There's no respect for it today. Why? Because the Antichrist will think to change times and laws. He's going to change everything. So what do we have now? We have that spirit that John said, that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. What's it doing now? What are we seeing? We're seeing that the written law means nothing. It means nothing. The Pope, he's led by the Antichrist, like we just said. He says, follow your conscience, you'll go to heaven. Atheists can now end up in heaven. The written law says that he that believeth not is damned already. But the Pope says, no worry, the spirit that leads me is leading me to tell you that you'll be fine. What is that? That's that spirit of Antichrist. You know, there's another spirit that I've talked about too, and I believe it's real. I believe it's that antinomian spirit that's out there among fundamental Baptist churches today. That spirit of the moral law means nothing. We're saved. We're going to be fine. We can live any way we want to. We'll be just fine. By the way, that's not somebody that's saved that feels that way or that lives their life like that. They're fooling themselves if they believe that's true, because it's not. That's not a saved person. A saved person doesn't believe I'm saved so I can freely sin. I'm saved to be free from sin. I might get tangled up. I'll have to do some repenting. But I'm not chained to it anymore. God gives the victory. Amen? When we talk about salvation sometime in the future, I'm going to preach you a message on the entirety of salvation, but you know, that's for another time, but I do want to do that. I want to clarify some things that I mentioned earlier so you understand them in the previous message about, you know, a threefold or a fourfold salvation. Some look at it differently. You know, I get it when somebody says a fourfold or a threefold. I don't have a problem with either one of those, really, because I know what they're saying. Some include in one step more than another. Free, you know, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. But some believe there's a pre-work from the pleasure of sin as God is dealing with you as well. But, you know, that could be, you know, that's not something that is something I would argue about. But there's this antinomian, this total disregard for the moral law of God. This is Antichrist. It's nothing more than an attack, albeit a subtle one, from that wicked spirit of Antichrist. Don't worry about what God's law says to live by. Now, we're not Judaizers. We know we're not saved by the law. The law condemns us. It can't save us. It condemns us. We understand that. It's by grace through faith. Amen. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd all be in hell. Amen. And all be dying in our sins. And the power of sin would control us and consume us and destroy us. Amen. But it's God's grace. It lifted us out of it. Amen. Nothing we can do. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But then you have this total disregard for the written law in our politicians today, who write a law, then usurp their own law and not enforce it. We have a president of the United States that wrote a law, or that Congress and the Senate, well, actually it was originally in the Senate, it's supposed to be a tax law, but it's a lie. Anyway, but they've written this law, and they can't even implement it. And instead of the president being a real man and standing up and being a man and saying, you know what, get me a repeal bill, we'll repeal it, and we'll work on something later. Instead of being a stand-up man, he's going to continue to be led by the spirit of Antichrist and ignore the law that he wrote into law. Well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to ignore his law because it doesn't make sense. You can't even register for His law. You can't even register on a website. But I'm supposed to trust you that you're going to have a doctor take care of me? You're going to have insurance for me? When you can't even run a website? And people can't even register today? Okay. I'm waiting for that class action lawsuit. That's going to be a fun one. It is. Because when they come after people who say, no, we're not doing it because you can't even run a website, I'm waiting to jump on that bandwagon and be like, cool, let's sue them. Let's go to the Supreme Court. Because they're a bunch of liars. They can't even run a website. They can't even provide something. What is all of that? It's monkeying around is what it is, basically. But the heart of it is that they ignore the law, the written law. They expect you to follow something that they can't even enforce. So there is no law. You see what I mean? It's lawlessness. That's what it is. And that's what they're doing. That's what he's doing. Lawlessness. Can't even enforce it. They disobey the Bill of Rights. They trample on the Constitution. That's Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist to change times and laws. Freedom of speech is being challenged. Preachers thrown in jail. Other people with the National Detention Act grabbed off the street and kidnapped.
with the Patriot Act, grab, kick your door in and do whatever, illegal searches and seizures on the side of the road, molesting people on the side of the road.
What is that? Ignoring the written law. Why? Because that's the spirit of Antichrist. He is going to, when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, all the laws are out. It's his law. That's what's going to happen. So what are we seeing right now? We're seeing a preparation for that. We're seeing a preparatory work for that. We're seeing that spirit of Antichrist going out right now, ignoring written law and trampling it. By the way, let me ask you a question. They trample, let me make a statement to you. They trampled that King James Bible before they ever trampled the Constitution. Do you understand that? This country trampled the Word of God. So don't you dare think that they would hold respect for a Constitution when they trampled the words of life. The first mistake they made was getting rid of this word of God, trampling it, was questioning it, was challenging it. That was the first mistake they made. After they did that, nothing would have mattered anymore. The Constitution means nothing to a people that don't love God. Amen. It means nothing. For people that aren't righteous, it means not a thing. When they lost their fear of God, the written law meant nothing. They were following the spirit of Antichrist. We will do whatever seemeth right in our own eyes. It's the spirit of tyranny. Because that's how the Antichrist works. He works in fear. The spirit of Antichrist, the devil, works in fear. That's how he works. That's how the devil operates, is in fear. Have you ever noticed how you're supposed to be scared of everything in this world? I'm not saying it's not true, but Pringles give you cancer now. I mean, everything that you can possibly eat, everything you can possibly do, it's all infested. It's all going to kill you. I'm not saying it won't. It probably will. I'm just telling you that you're to fear everything. There's supposed to be terrorists everywhere that are after you. They're going to kill you. They're hiding out in caves in Afghanistan with remote control drones or whatever that are flying airplanes all over the place. And meanwhile, I can't even get a signal on my phone, like I've told you before, but they can operate and do all the things that they're doing. And we can't find them, of course. So we have to take away your freedom. I understand. And then the whole Navy SEAL Team 6 dies on the way back, and all of them are dead. And you can't figure out. And so nobody can witness and say, hey, we did shoot Osama. Well, that's odd, isn't it? Nah, it's not odd. It makes sense. It's like every other thing that spirit of Antichrist has been a part of. That working of Satan. But we'll just stick our head in the sand and we'll act like it's not really happening. We'll act like our government is good and we're not drone killing people all over the world. We'll act like it's okay to go drone people in Pakistan with little babies like you're holding on your lap right now. Yeah, it's okay to drop bombs on them and kill them. But after all, we're America, so we're the ones that are always right. See what I mean? What is that? What is all that? First of all, all of it is against the written law. All those wars are illegal wars against the written law of God, or written law of the land, which in turn is against, by the way, and it is do no harm. It's against everything that Jesus Christ said too, as well, for somewhat of a Christian nation, which I don't believe. What is it? It's Antichrist. Come on, when you have statues of goddesses outside of all your capitals, when you have a mural of George Washington ascending into godhood, never mind, that'll just make people mad. But anyway, when you have that. Moving along. Number four, the spirit of the Antichrist shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Here's where we miss it. John said that spirit was already in the world and has gone out, and that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So what is he doing? He is fulfilling the work of the Antichrist, preparing his ways. What is one of the ways that he does it? In the end times, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will wear out the saints of the Most High. You know what that spirit of Antichrist is doing right now? Attempting to wear out the saints of the Most High. The spirit of Antichrist is about his Father's business. The Antichrist work is done right now through that spirit. Let me ask you, have you ever been under a satanic attack? Let me tell you something. Ever since I came back from Gateway Anabaptist Church, I didn't get 1 hour outside of that town before. And we had a blessed meeting. We were refreshed. The Lord had really spoke to us and everything. I didn't get 1 hour outside of that town. And the phone call, I was on the phone all night with people that, two different people. I mean, or one person I was on, I went home. I had no sleep at all. I got my bed and another pastor had called me and told me that his whole, everything was just distraught, his home and ruined and messed up and destroyed. And things just kept coming and coming and coming and coming, and they have been. Hate mail, people mad, people lying, former church members out and out lying, speaking with a forked tongue, sending me one message and then saying something different to somebody else. Verifiable proof that it was going on. Got my back to stick a knife in it. What is that? He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. See, it would depress me if I didn't understand where it was coming from. Do you understand that? When you can identify why things are happening and you look at it, listen, I've been preaching this whole year on the spirit world. I didn't plan on it. It just happened. The Lord just led that way. I've been preaching this whole year. If you trace back many of the messages, all deal with the spiritual warfare we're facing. When you start revealing things like this, when you start revealing Satan's mysteries that he wants to keep, Satan's things that he wants to keep mysterious, when you start revealing that spiritual warfare that's out there, when you start doing that, that doesn't make the devil happy. And this spirit of Antichrist is there to wear out the saints of the Most High. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Russ and I, when we stepped out of that meeting, we were in the car, in our rental car, sitting there. We were praying for like a half an hour. So much so that everybody had left and we were still there praying. And we pulled away from there and man, we just felt good. We weren't an hour outside of that town and everything started coming down. Preachers having problems, families destroyed, ministries broken up, strife from within. That spirit of Antichrist is there to wear out the saints. He wants to wear you out and discourage you from doing the work of God. That's what he wants to do to all of us. He wants to discourage you, to tell you to just give up on your children. Give up on trying to give up on making strong stands. Give up on living for God. Give up on doing the important things. Give up on street preaching. After all, there's no results. Nobody ever gets saved. And just give up on it. Just quit doing it. I mean, people just get mad at you. All they do is yell at you. Oh, drop the internet ministry. Just don't put things online anymore. You're obsessed with the internet. You're obsessed with it. So just drop that and don't do that anymore. And just give that ministry up and everything else. By the way, question for you. Have any of you ever tried to call me and I wouldn't be there for you if you needed me? Any of you ever tried to call me and I wouldn't answer, or I would ignore you, or I wouldn't talk to you, or I wouldn't help you when you were in need? No. It's a lie from the devil is what it is. But see, I recognize the satanic attacks. I recognize them. I understand what it is. And I understand how people are. And I understand when they get led by the devil, they can do a lot of things. And I understand when things get brought out in the light, that doesn't make people that live in darkness happy. That makes them upset and angry. But it happened the same to the Apostle Paul. Folks, I'm not talking about living in sin and doing something wrong. I'm talking about just the devil attacking you. I'm talking about the devil just coming after you, or the spirit of Antichrist coming after you to wear out the saints of the Most High. Even Brother Russ said, he said, man, brother, he goes, I've noticed all this stuff, and man, I just don't want you to get down. I know it's getting to you. I know it's bothering you. I know these things are bothering you. They weigh heavy on you. Man, I'm telling you what, I got done preaching. It didn't stop, really. I mean, the whole weekend it went on. I had things that were like this, and I know what it is. I know it's an attack from the devil, and I could see it. I'm watching as it goes. I mean, Monday morning, first thing I get up, I got a phone call from somebody and I got an email from somebody, like a tag team. Boom! What is that? Satanic attack. That's what it is. It's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it is. To wear down the saints of the Most High. To discourage you to stop serving the Lord, that spirit to hinder the Lord's work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. Turn there. Look what happened to the Apostle Paul. You know, I like the Apostle Paul. He talks a lot about that. He doesn't mix words and he names names. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul knew the attack of that spirit. He knew it was attack. He knew the devil was trying to stop him. He knew that spirit of Antichrist was there. That wicked satanic spirit was there to try to stop him. He knew it. And I know the same thing. That wicked spirit of Antichrist. You know, every time we try to get this book, Simply Church, done, some things happened last year in our church. For 6 months, we put that thing on the shelf and dealt with things that had to be taken care of. Why? Because the devil doesn't want that out there. No. He doesn't. Nope. Why? Because it's the spirit of Antichrist there to hinder the work of God, to disturb. You know, by the way, when you have a problem with somebody, you come straight on, you talk to them about it. That's what you do. You don't use backdoor methods and you don't talk to church members. Now, there's a difference if you ask somebody a question or clarify something or something like that. I'm not talking about that. But anyway. I thought for sure he hit his head. I was like, oh, he's going down, man. His head was going, shh. I'm like, oh boy. Anyway, you come straight and you talk about it. Amen. We sit in a room full of men and we talk and we discuss things. Now, if it's a personal matter on a private nature, then we talk one-on-one to each other. We don't have to bring everybody into it. That's that spirit of Antichrist, so. That spirit to falsely accuse, a lying spirit. A spirit that will lead others to discourage, to hurt the saints of God, to wear them out, fighting the battles that we face. The sin is everywhere. It's rampant. We're surrounded by wickedness. Every day, the whole world lieth in wickedness. That spirit of Antichrist is attempting to wear us out through people and circumstances. But you know what? God has the answer for us. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the answer. He also says in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Though he tries to wear us down, we can't be weary in well-doing. We have to understand that it's a battle, it's a fight, it's a war. It's not for a bunch of girly men sissies that don't want to stand up and fight. Because I guarantee you, they're going to be the first ones that give in. They'll be the first ones. I'm always amazed at people. I'm always amazed when people want to criticize what's preached and want to criticize. Not the substance, by the way. They don't want to talk about that because that's really what's bothering them. But they want to talk about something I say off the cuff or something that I say that's like that, because I don't say everything that they want to say the way they say it, the way they'd like it said. And they did the same thing to John the Baptist. They said, oh, he's just some crazy guy coming out of the wilderness. Look at him. He's a nut. Then Jesus Christ came and he was more refined and full of meekness and truth. And what they say about him, oh, you're a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. That's what they said. What they didn't like anything he said. I'm done here, but the funniest thing, I see this picture today, somebody sent me, and it was hilarious. I mean, they sent me this picture, and it showed what would Jesus do. He goes, it might say, what would Jesus do? And the picture said something like, well, horse whipping people out of the temple would be something that he might do. And it's just the point of everybody looks at Jesus as like, that he was like this effeminate person, that all he did was walk around and preach love. And 2/3 of his messages were negative. He preached an entire sermon where he called them like, he called people 20 times, he called them, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you generation of vipers. Why? Because he was the truth and he just told the truth. Yeah, he loved them. People like to major on the minors instead of the substance. Why? Because that's what the devil does. Just try to get one thing that somebody would say that would get you to ignore everything else that is being preached. That one thing. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If you're doing that, that's a game you're playing. And you're falling into the devil's trap. And you're lying to yourself, and you need to repent and get right with God, because you're lying. You're lying to yourself, and you're saying that this little offense, I'm offended. This little offense has to do with something. No, you're offended at the truth. That's what you're offended at. Because I guarantee you, your boss says some things to you that you don't like. But when the preacher says something to you you don't like, or preaches something that you don't like, you act like a sniveling little girl that's got to go run in the corner and cry. Be a man. That's that spirit of Antichrist. It's a discouraging spirit. It's a spirit that wants to go. It's a spirit that speaks against the authority of Scripture. Speaks great words against it. It's the time we live in. There's some more about that spirit of Antichrist we'll talk about on Sunday.